Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Sunoff with Michael Sunoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. In this next interview with Richard, we have an amazing list of case studies. A lot of people said, what has Richard been doing over the last couple years? So I called Richard and I said, Richard, we need to do another interview of some of your case studies of what you've been doing in the last couple years. So Richard's gone through his files. He's pulled out 10 of his best case studies that will illustrate lessons and things that the HMA consultants can learn from what he's been doing out in the field. He'll illustrate the power of a USP, the integrating of the USP in database marketing and alliances, and you'll see how one alliance that Richard has established over the years keeps feeding them account after account after account. I know you're going to learn from these exciting case studies, so let's get going. At the end of this interview, Richard answers some of the most common questions from new and existing HMA consultants. We haven't done an interview in some time, and out of all this time, the last couple years, you're not sitting there selling consulting packages. You're out there executing, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to talk about some of the stories so the consultants can hear from you and understand that you're still out there executing.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with your solid comfort story and tell the consultants who that is, and why don't you start with how are you getting these clients and maybe explain how you're still very focused working with your alliances, your MEPs across the country.
Solid Comfort is a furniture manufacturer that makes furniture for the hospitality business, hotels and things. So when you go in and spend a night at the hotel and you look at your dresser and you look at your bed, that's who made it.
How did you get introduced to them?
They are part of the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Alliance that I've had and developed over the last 4 years or so. And that's an important thing that the HMA consultants, if they're looking at wanting to jumpstart their practice and they're wanting to find new clients, alliances, step number 4, is part of their system. And it's probably the best way to go do it without spending any money. And so I would just recommend to all of them that they find groups and associations in their area, chambers of commerce, manufacturing groups, economic development centers, other training companies, accountants, CPAs, printers, sign companies. These are all groups that are helping small businesses to succeed. And they need to establish some relationships with these types of groups because they are the ones that could introduce them to their clients. So marketing-wise, we've just learned that the fastest way to jumpstart a practice is to try and get an alliance going. And I would guess most of the HMA consultants have some of these relationships already that are sitting in their area. And then you want to use the PowerPoint presentation because that's exactly what I did here. I did a workshop with the Manufacturing Extension Partnership who sponsored it, and Solid Comfort came to the workshop. And just as taught in the HMA system, we followed up with a complimentary consultation, and we closed them. There's no question that what we tried to do was assume that the consultant had zero relationships, and so we put telemarketing scripts in there, we put direct mail letters in there, we put cold calling scripting in there, but that has to be the last resort. That's the hardest way to go, and so what we want HMA consultants to do is look at their own marketing assets. Take time to say, well, what relationships do I have? Oh, I've got a friend that's been in the printing business or that is in the printing business. Or I have my CPA who works with other small business owners. or I have a sign company around the corner that makes signs for small businesses, or I have my local chamber of commerce, I have my local manufacturing association, I have my local economic and development group. These are all alliances and partnerships that the HMA consultants should go after first. And yeah, if you're going to do cold calling to these groups. Banks, I'm heading there. I have now a contact in a U.S. bank office that was a former client, and he is asking for me to come down and do a workshop for U.S. bank customers. So I'm in the process of getting into the banks, because banks are in a very competitive situation right now. So HMA consultants, if you've got a relationship with a community bank, start there. I'm talking right now about an alliance with a company that does workshops in banks already. Well, they go in, and the workshops they offer cover all of the areas of starting and running a business: financial, accounting, succession, setting up marketing. And so I asked the owner of this company, I said, well, when you do your marketing workshop, what if the client wants marketing help after that? I don't want to get there, he says. Well, that's where HMA consultants can come in. Is there's lots of companies that might train initially on marketing but don't want to execute. And so that's an alliance, where I used to think of it as a competitor. And so we're learning that our strength in the HMA system is execution. And a lot of companies can go out and do training, but they don't then know how to engage the client, work with the client over 4, 5, 6 months, get results for the client through a systematic step of execution. So I'm excited for the banks, and I think you all should take a look at that. But Solid Comfort came from a workshop that we did with an alliance that has been in place now for several years.
And so when you did the opportunity analysis with Solid Comfort, what kind of hidden assets were real obvious to you?
Well, they produced a great product. So we knew that they'd been in business 9 or 10 years, so a long time, probably close to 15 years, and had a lot of good clients, Holiday Inns and Best Westerns, and good solid endorsement opportunities with hotels. But we learned that it was very competitive. They're a manufacturer, and we've enjoyed helping manufacturers a lot over the last few years, because they've been getting a lot of competition from China, a lot of competition from India, a lot of competition from Canada and Mexico. So Solid Comfort was in this boat. They were getting a lot of competition from overseas, because hotel furniture, it doesn't have to be nice furniture. I mean, it has to be put together well, but, you know, it's not for a residential family, it's for a guest. So they were getting hit by a lot of this competition. And if HMA consultants work with manufacturers, what we're learning is that we have to find another reason for people to do business with manufacturers other than price. Because if price is the key reason that people are buying, then they're going to go to India, they're going to go to China, and they're going to go to Asia, Mexico, where labor's cheaper, and they're going to buy from these other places. So it's been great, as far as currently in a slow economic time, is these manufacturers need a lot of help in differentiating themselves. So with Solid Comfort, we took a look at those assets. We took a look at their credibility. We took a look at their performance. And we developed a unique selling proposition. And the case studies we're going to talk about, several from manufacturing, we've assigned them a character trait of reliability by Toyota. Toyota now is number one because they own the USP of reliability. So when we have a manufacturer like Solid Comfort where we could have a reliability USP, well, but you got to do more than just say we're very reliable. So what we did is we made a 10-point promise of reliability to increase profits for the hotel owners. On-time delivery. Delivery of your furniture is guaranteed to arrive on the agreed delivery date, or Solid Comfort will pay the freight on truckload orders. No unscheduled empty rooms costing you money. See, these contractors and builders who order furniture, they got to have it there in the rooms on time.
Or they lose money on that.
That's right. They got empty rooms. And so then we have a quote here. Deliveries are on time 99.9% of the time with solid comfort, and the performance of the product has been very satisfactory. Our furniture maintenance cost is among the lowest in the industry, all thanks to solid comfort. Now we have a USP that really matters. And we had 9 other points. Superior product, parts replacement, the blanket wrapped, no carton disposal, zero freight damage, fully assembled delivery, order accuracy, attention to details, and a 5-year warranty. And we have a certificate that goes out now with each furniture delivery that has those 10 points on it.
That's nice.
Yeah, so they get their furniture, and there's a certificate of reliability.
So let me ask you this. You've got a lot of different points, and this has always been something that's been kind of confusing to consultants. So what is the tagline USP? If you could only pick one of those, and let's say on Solid Comfort's website, you're integrating that USP on the front page, what's the USP, I guess, slogan that's going to ring all through the company?
A 10-point promise of reliability to increase your profits.
And how long has that been integrated?
Yeah, it's been in there for now into its second year, and they are having record sales.
Record sales since they made those changes.
That's right. They got it integrated into their brochure. They got it integrated into the website. And I just have to emphasize to HMA consultants, the beauty of this marketing system is steps 1 and 2 can have so much powerful impact, and that is the USP and its integration.
Where else was that USP integrated with Solid Comfort?
All of the salespeople that are making calls now talk about on-time delivery guarantee.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
All right, so it's got to be integrated with all of the salespeople that are either inside sales or outside sales. And I would say that we're learning that over the years, is that all of these stories and case studies, I have had some that have failed, and HMA consultants will. They'll have some that it doesn't work. And if I were to identify the number one reason it doesn't work is that the salespeople have not gotten around it and sold it. So my guarantee doesn't apply because they're not getting it executed according to my instructions and to our training. They have to do that, and if they don't, then the guarantee is not applicable. So that's the biggest struggle we're learning, and HMA consultants, you need to understand that you've got to get it integrated into the salespeople. So once I knew these 4 inside salespeople were doing it, we have record sales.
Did you move into database and alliances with them?
Absolutely. Then we go into database, and they're doing a newsletter that goes out to their customers, current ones. And each newsletter that goes out has this 10-point reliability on there so that they remind them and sell them again and again. We got salespeople that are calling inactive customers, contractors that haven't worked with them for a while, and all of that's contributing to record sales.
All right, let's talk about another one, Millennium Finance. Who are they?
This is a financial planner. They have been in the financial planning business for a lot of years, but he was trying to break out on his own away from the brokerage house that he was with.
Tell me how you made the contact and how you ended up working with him.
A workshop in a town not too far from here, and he came to the workshop. Again, the workshop was sponsored by the manufacturing association that I'm with, but many times they will promote to all businesses. And so they did, and here a financial planner came instead of just manufacturers.
A great illustration. He paid to come to the workshop, but he ends up coming to you as a one-on-one client.
That's right.
So he approached you after the workshop. What did he say? Do you remember?
Yeah, we had a complimentary consultation. So I went to his place of business, and we went through his assets, did the opportunity analysis, just like we're taught to, and went through all his assets. And he said, you know, I need a system. I need a way that I can just get new clients on a regular basis so that I don't have to rely on my brokerage house. And he says, there's some marketing experts within the brokerage business, which there are many of them, but they cost an arm and a leg for these guys to access, and they just end up looking like everybody else. And so he knew he needed a strong marketing system.
What did you discover in the operation?
Well, he had a good customer base, And that's all we needed with this guy.
And he wasn't working it?
No.
What kind of numbers?
Well, he only had probably 100, but the top 20% were strong people that could refer and could endorse. And now we ran into some legal issues because that brokerage business doesn't allow direct endorsement. So we did workshops. We set up workshops with some of these top clients. And they were just munching mingles at the cabin that he owned in the area. He would only get 8 or 9 guests from these people to come out to the workshop.
Tell me specifically what you guys did.
We approached 3 or 4 of his top clients, and we asked them to sponsor a dinner workshop.
Did you approach him by phone or through a letter?
He did personally, the financial consultant, and said, listen, I'm working with a marketing guy, and we're talking about doing some workshops. Would you mind helping us promote one? And that was fine. That was okay. And they were all right with that. So personal invitations were sent out to the networks of these people. And he had dinner brought in, catered in, and everyone was around a big table. And he talked about the risks of retirement and many of the pitfalls that people get into. So that was another thing that we did that was unique, is his unique selling proposition was not how to retire and get rich, which is the USP for everybody. We went the negative route. We went the pain route. We went the 10 ways that you could lose your retirement route. 10 biggest mistakes you can make in retirement planning. And they just loved it. It was a great workshop. He does them now every quarter, and he's on his way to meeting his $20 million under management, which was his goal.
Wow, that's great. Did you guys work on a USP?
On a USP, we developed a free report, 10 biggest retirement mistakes that you could make, and the free report was sent out to his database, and so he's communicating with them. So we integrated it into his website as well and put together a little brochure for him. So we were 3 steps in there, 1, 2, and 3. And he paid $3,000 a step. But it was worth it to him because his alternatives was $15,000-$20,000 if he worked through his brokerage house.
So how did you handle the payments? Did you get them all at once or one at a time?
Each step at a time.
He didn't do alliances, or which step didn't he do?
Alliances we kind of covered along with the database. We kind of did them together because most of the alliances were with his current customers.
Good illustration. How about Fitness Ridge? Who's Fitness Ridge? How were you introduced to him, and how did they end up being one of your clients?
Fitness Ridge came through a referral from another client in the southern Utah area. So I went over and gave them a complimentary consultation.
Tell me how the referral came in.
The referral came in from a client that I'd worked with down there before previously.
And they called you to...
We've got a family member of mine that owns this fitness company, and we'd like you to visit with them. So we went down, and this is a company that is very well known for weight management spas. And that's what this is. Fitness Ridge is a weight management exercise spa company that's been in business now probably 4 or 5 years.
So these are overweight people. They need to do something. They go there.
Well, there's both. There's people that are there for their weight, but there's people that are there for fitness.
Okay, and they go stay there, reside
that's
there.
Right. They stay a week, maybe two. All the meals are provided, which are weight-conscious meals. So they teach them how to try and make a lifestyle change.
Why'd they call you in?
To grow, okay? They have rooms that they need to fill. That's their challenge.
All right, so you went over there and you met with them, you did the opportunity analysis.
That's right. First thing we did was find out that they did not have on staff a marketing person that could operate all of these opportunities. And I'm going to just list all of these opportunities. So in the next 30 days, they went out and hired a marketing person. And then I was able to work with the marketing person and get them trained over the steps. So we had a USP. First tried was a guaranteed weight loss. Well, we ran it for about 30 days. They were getting a lot of leads from the website. And the salesman there, they did have a salesman, but not a marketing manager. So the salesman was handling those leads coming in, and he was closing those leads. And we determined that the weight loss guarantee wasn't really needed, wasn't really effective. So we changed USPs. And the USP that we ended up going with was a price USP. We found that all other spas were charging like $4,000 or $5,000 for the week. Fitness Ridge would charge $14.95 and yet give them as much as a $4,000 or $5,000 spa would. And so we went a price. We went a Walmart USP. And boom, the hits to the website just went up dramatically, and his conversion rate's gone up as well, the salesperson. And now they're headed for their first $1 million in business.
That's great. So let's talk about that. You took them through the USP, the four steps in developing the USP. How was it that you guys missed the mark on that?
That is a great question. And it's because they said, we'll go ahead and work those four steps. I said, fine. They didn't. They didn't call their customers, they didn't look at the competition like they should have, and they missed the mark.
Now, when they said, we'll work the four steps, did they hire you and pay you for each one of those projects?
No, this was not a paid deal. This was more of a favor from me.
Okay, so you told them what to do.
That's right. And they didn't do it. So we came back and did it right and got them to do it right. So the important thing to understand here is a great lesson. Number one, you do got to do the due diligence on a USP. You can't just pontificate and think you got it. But don't worry, a USP doesn't have to be in stone. It can be changed overnight. So none of these things are life or death issues.
Obviously, their guarantee wasn't working, and then you came in and you pretty much identified what was wrong.
Yeah, and now they're going with that, and they're just doing a lot better. But, you know, they've never done a mailing, so we're working on database with them. They've never done a mailing to previous attendees to the spa. We're working with them on a referral program. When they're ready to leave the spa, we're having them now sit down and ask how it went, and can you get us three or four names? And so they're now getting referrals, which they weren't getting before. We worked on upselling. Part of the integration of the USP. When they came into the spa, they would go through the waiting and all of that. They'd do their preliminary checkup and stuff. And it was at that point we started to offer upselling a new hike or a more extreme hike or an extreme bike ride, other things that they might be interested in. And now they're working on an at-home coaching when they go home. Can we help them continue the weight loss program as a back-end revenue? So I'll tell you, they've only gotten into one or two of these recommendations, and they're just swamped.
That's great. Now, you did mention when you approached them, you asked them to hire a marketing guy to implement all these opportunities.
There's so much opportunity.
So is that a good strategy? Let's say a consultant's out there and he meets with a company like Fitness Ridge, and he can either sell the execution and sell the projects where the consultant's going to execute, but could it be a good strategy for a consultant to advise them to bring on a marketing person and still collect consulting fees?
Oh, sure, yeah. The reason is, if you can get help, it's all the better, and especially help that welcomes your help. So that's why this worked out so well, is they welcomed the help, but they knew they were missing. Now, many times as a consultant, you'll find people already on staff that you could redirect over to the marketing effort. And so sometimes the asset's already there. It wasn't here.
That's good. Just thinking about this, I think this is a wonderful strategy because when you're selling your consulting services, there's no doubt that your client has got to do some work on their part. And there's a big chance that they may not want to do it or they're too busy in the business. And I could see that as a pretty solid thing to do to recommend to your clients to either allocate some labor within the organization to handle all the execution on the marketing tactics. And you can kind of remain more in a consultative position and take some of the workload off you.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with what I said earlier, and that is that you kind of need a champion in the company that's with you. And the more you could do that, then the more chance you'll have of success. And this champion could be someone they hire to work with you. It could be somebody already there. It could be the owner. I've got a client right now that we're struggling with because the salespeople haven't caught the vision, so the owner has. And he's forcing these changes. He's forcing these mindset changes. So I've got the owner as the champion with me, and he's starting to say, you know, I found out I just got order takers. I don't have anybody that can sell anything. So he's seriously beginning to contemplate who he's got to let go. And those are okay things to start to go through, because they've just been getting by with incoming orders from current customers. So yeah, if you can get a champion on your side, all the better.
Let's talk about Dakota Machine. Tell me who they are, how were you introduced, and how did you get them as a client?
Dakota Machine came through the Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and they, again, came to a workshop, followed up with a complimentary consultation, and closed them on four projects.
When you close on all these projects, are you ever closing where they pay for all the projects at once, or generally you're always doing it, they pay as you go?
Yeah, it's generally been, for me, a pay as they go, because they like the idea that they could stop me after step one.
How much did you charge on these projects?
These are all between $3,000 and $4,000 a step.
Okay, so what was some of their challenges?
Here you had a company that had a salesman making cold calls, and they specialized in smaller machine parts. And so the salesman, he'd gotten lists and was making calls. So that was an asset we knew we had. And the salesman was open, and he was willing to change and willing to make changes. So we got a USP. And many times in manufacturing, one of the biggest issues and problems and voids in the market is getting product done and delivered on time, or what they refer to as lead time. So we determined in step number one they could guarantee lead time, or they'll pay the shipping. And so that became the script for the salesman. The other thing we found in step two that the salesman was not doing, he wasn't qualifying very well. And so he was talking to a lot of manufacturers that would never have the specialized machine part needs that Dakota Machine did. So he was wasting a lot of time. So in step two, when you have a USP, you begin to train a salesman on what he should be asking and qualifying for to determine if he wants to spend more time on that lead. Well, his conversion rate shot up 20 to 30% just in 60 days. And we've got now this little machine company at capacity, and they're bringing on a second and third shift.
Is he still doing cold calling, but he's calling
up? Still doing cold calling.
But he's not wasting his time.
That's right. And the material being sent out has our USP. And so his conversion rates are going up because we've integrated the USP.
How does the USP read?
A partner in profit is the slogan. And guaranteed lead time. When we tell you when it's going to be shipped, it will be shipped.
So through the USP project, talking to his clients, talking to him, talking to the...
Looking at the competition.
You found the biggest frustration out there for buyers of these small parts was lead time.
That's right. Well, what happens is a company needs a part, and they need it in good time so that they can make their parts and sell it. And so they call up all of these machine companies and say, can you make these parts? How fast can you do it? When will you have it done? What quantities can you have it done in? And these machine companies say, well, I don't know when we'll get it done, or we'll be 3 weeks, and they end up 6 weeks, just pissing everybody off. Well, Dakota Machine had done a pretty good job at knowing how to get done on time. So the USP wasn't a huge operational issue, because I got another client that's an on-time USP, and they can't do it. So they're having to back off. And so sometimes you get the assets right, and they can do it. Sometimes you don't. But Dakota Machine was able to do it. So companies call them, and they want to know their parts are going to arrive on time so that they can finish making their parts and selling them.
Did you guys find a lot of incompetence in the industry?
Oh, yes. It's rampant. There's a lot of incompetence in that area of the manufacturing industry because they've just gotten casual over the years. So they don't have to get them out when they say they will. And so they haven't.
So Dakota could even sell their parts at a premium. Price really wasn't an issue.
That's right. Yeah, that's the important thing, Michael, is that we're getting people off of the price.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Which has dogged the manufacturing industry for so long. So when you guarantee lead time, you can hold your pricing better than you were before to convert 20 to 30% more.
Dakota Machine, that's a great illustration on USP. How about Sue Steem? Who is Sue Steem? How were you introduced? How did you end up getting him as a client? And how many projects did you sell him on?
I'll tell you, this is probably one of the neatest experiences with a client. Let's see, again introduced at a workshop with the manufacturing group, and then went around and did our complimentary consultation, opportunity analysis, and closed them at $6,000 a step for four steps.
How did you determine that they were going to pay $6,000 when you compare Dakota Machine $3,000? Where do you make that evaluation?
That's a great point, and that is because you have a $10 million company compared to a $1 million company. So that's the first consideration. I also learned that they were spending $50,000 a month on advertising and marketing. Okay, so they were huge investors in that area. So I knew that we could find money that they were spending wrong and help them reallocate it over to me. So that's why I felt like I could ask it.
What did they do?
They signed on. Yeah, we closed it.
So what kind of business were they?
They make pressure washers for construction industry, for oil and gas industry. When there's an oil rig out there in the middle of the ocean, they got to clean them off. And these guys make the pressure washers that they use out there to clean these rigs. Very good company, been around a long time, a lot of assets, a lot of good distributors around the country in Canada and in foreign areas that sell their steam machines. So we got started, and reliability became the USP again.
Sorry to interrupt. I want to ask you this. You got a $10 million company. Who was it that you met with? Who was the decision maker on that in a $10 million company?
Well, we had an owner and we had a marketing director.
That came together.
Uh-huh.
So you had your decision makers there.
Oh, yeah. I can't emphasize that enough to all of the HMA consultants. If I were to look back, and that's why I just don't make the mistake anymore, and that is you just don't go visit a company unless you've got the decision maker sitting in. The likelihood of you closing anything just drops precipitously. So anyway, they were there, the two key people that I needed to have there. They looked at the agreement for quite a while. I held the pricing at $6,000, and they finally came around and signed up, and we took them through four steps because step one was USP, which again went to reliability. I used the same packaging and USP with this company as I did with Solid Comfort. That's what these HMA consultants need to understand, is I charged twice as much and was able to use same experiences and same USP.
So you didn't have to rework the whole USP, it was done.
That's right. But they didn't know it, and they don't care. So that's what's great about the consulting business, is when you see parallel situations that you can capitalize on and leverage and charge twice as much for and get the same value, and it's a great opportunity. So we did much the same thing, came up with a reliability certificate that's mailed out. However, we did do some hard work on this one in that we did come up with a return on investment comparison between a Sioux steam machine and the competition. We learned in our USP project that the Sioux steam machines lasted much longer out in the field than the competition. So we put together a little return on investment chart that showed how much money our clients were saving by buying Sioux steam machines. So I guess I should say I probably did a little bit of work on that one, but that was key in helping us integrate this reliability, is to get this free report together. Now it's being offered on their website. It's being offered by all the distributors as this free report showing how a Sioux steam machine makes more money for our customers than any other steam machine out there. So that was a lot of good stuff that we got. Now the salespeople, there's four of them, inside salespeople, they're now sending out the free report before they give a bid. They're now having the dealers on the other end that are working with the end user use that free report and that ROI analysis as part of the bid process. So that was huge integration in step two, is getting those inside salespeople sold on this ROI report. And then step three, the database of distributors, we started to get them using the report. We started to do more training around the USP and the report. Alliances was more working with distributors and helping them do more marketing on their end. And so we went through the four steps, and that finished about a year ago. Well, I got an email from Jack Finger, the owner, said, Richard, just want you to know that we are having a record year because of our USP and because the salespeople are qualifying better and not wasting time on bids that we shouldn't be selling. See, guys, a good USP, that's what you want to have it do, is qualify out people they shouldn't be working with. And so what was happening is Sioux Steam was getting drained. Their engineering department and drafting and design department was getting drained by bids they shouldn't have been doing because they were all price-oriented buyers. They didn't care about an ROI with a steam machine. So once the ROI report started getting used by the salespeople, for example, a guy would call in and say, I want a bid. Salesperson would say, well, before we do that bid, I need you to read this ROI report and let's fill it out together and see the advantage of our machine. Well, guess what would happen if they didn't fill it out?
You'd never get back with them.
And no bids were given, saving time. And that huge waste of energy doing bids that were going to go to a prospect who didn't care about the Sioux machine. So all of a sudden our conversion rates are going up, and he sends me an email saying we're headed from 8 million to 10 million. Just wanted to let you know and that we're having a record year, and I'd like to do now steps 5, 6, 7, and 8.
It's $6,000 a pop.
That's right.
Man, that's nice. 6 times 8, 48,000.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
From one client. So that's the fun part of it. But it happened because we were able to get the salespeople shifting their paradigm away from, oh, you want a bid? Sure, we'll give you a bid.
These alliances are just handing you money.
Yeah, I mean, this manufacturing alliance has just been terrific. I've not had to do any direct marketing in 5 years. I also want to maybe just make this point that the reason these clients, sure, they are referred to me, so that helps, but you still got to go in and meet them face to face, and you still have to help them see the money from their assets. If they don't sense that there's money sitting in those assets, they're not going to make a $6,000 investment per step, okay? And you have to help them see. For example, in Sioux Steam, I would ask, Jack, do you know the closing rate of the salespeople? And he didn't. So I said, it's likely that we could increase that sales conversion rate if we got a good USP and then trained the salespeople in that USP. And he goes, oh, yeah. He says, I know we're spending too much time with people we shouldn't be spending with. So, see, he saw the money draining out of his company. And when he sees that, he's going to pay you to stop it. So I can't emphasize enough how important that you understand the opportunity analysis process, because the whole reason for that process is to show them the money. Because if you don't do that, you're looking like and will be regarded as just another traditional marketing guy. And these people are done paying for that. And so it's the USP that we have as HMA consultants that's critical. And that is, I'm going to help you find money currently sitting in your business that we can uncover and increase sales. And you know, Jack, I'm not going to ask you to spend any more money on traditional marketing activity. Does that sound like something be of interest to you?
That's great. Good case study. Engine Rebuilders, same situation. How'd you meet them? What'd you close them on?
Yep, same manufacturing workshop. The same opportunity analysis, $3 or $4 million company. They remanufacture engines for the skidsters like Caterpillar and companies that make these skidster machines that, you know, are heavy load lifters and things. Well, instead of buying a new engine, Engine Rebuilders would do just that. The skidster owner would send in the old engine, they'd rebuild it and send it back out. And so we went through just two steps is all on this one. Because it was a fast one, I didn't see a lot of work we needed to do. I didn't see a lot more assets that we could exploit. So we did a USP that extended the warranty on the engine longer than the competition. And so the repairs and the rebuilding was better because of that warranty. That was our USP. then we just started to integrate that with the two salespeople, who was the owner and another one. And they just took the survey from the manufacturing group, and they've gone from 3 to 5 million in a year.
Just by changing the USP?
Yeah, that's it.
So they were just another engine rebuilder. They had nothing making them unique.
That's right. I think we went a 7-year warranty instead of a 4-year warranty. And they're fine with that because they knew they weren't going to replace them anyway.
We're talking differentiation.
Yes, we are. We're talking about a warranty that's longer than the industry. But then all we had to do was get the owner and another salesperson using that and promoting that. And they had a newsletter also that we started to send out to Caterpillar dealers. And once the dealers know that they can sell a company that has a better warranty, then they're going to start selling your rebuilds more. So that was a great experience.
Shocker hitch.
Shocker hitch. Oh, boy. Kind of a new start. Again, came from the manufacturing workshops. This guy had invented a hitch for the back of a truck or larger vehicles that just eliminated a lot of the wear and tear that a trailer would put on a hitch in a truck. Just a better hitch. Here, the USP wasn't as big a factor as the sales training, or step number 2.
First off, how did you meet them? Same circumstances?
Same circumstance. Workshops with the manufacturers. Came to a show that he had a booth at and followed up with an opportunity consultation just like the others, but not a huge project. But the reason I wanted to discuss it is to show the impact of some important sales training. He was running ads in industry magazines for his hitch, and he was getting calls, but he wasn't converting. And so the ad described his USP pretty good in that the hitch would make it quieter than other hitches and would be very high quality hitch. So that was okay. But what we had to work on was, A, when a guy calls in, what are you going to say to him? And how are you going to close him? Because we learned and listened to his pitch, and he wasn't asking for the order like he could. So, Shocker Hitch is a case study of just some good, simple sales training. And we took him through, and he had a 30% increase within 30 days. And so he was just ecstatic.
So how many projects was that?
Just 2.
How much were they?
$3,000 each.
Wonderful.
And he's got an increase in 30 days because it was fairly simple. And that is, how do I handle a call? What do I say? And I'll tell you, HMA consultants, that is huge. It's probably a biggest source of asset almost than any other, is what's happening right now to a prospect. How are they being sold? Is a USP being communicated, number one? And number two, are they being sold? Are they being handled right? Are they being followed up with after the conversation? And so step 2, as you remember, is sales training, if required. And sometimes if it's a larger company, you could charge separately for that project and probably need to work it a little harder. But this case was just a one-man show.
So just clarify, step 2 is integrating the USP, but within that it's the sales training, getting the salespeople to deliver that.
That's right.
Good illustration, Richard. Now we have Diamond Mower. Tell me about Diamond Mower. How'd you meet him?
Again, through the Manufacturing Alliance, and went and gave them the same opportunity analysis. I guess, Michael, I don't know what to tell you. All of these are happening in the same way, but isn't that what HMA guys wanted?
That's what you want. You want one alliance to feed your business.
And you want a system. And the system is, I'll do a workshop, I'll follow up, I'll do an opportunity analysis, I'll do a proposal and close. Workshop, follow up, do an opportunity analysis, show them the money, and close. The same thing. So I want them to understand that this thing works.
A lot of your clients, some you're selling one project, some you're selling 2 projects, some you're selling 4 projects, some you end up selling 8 projects. Can you take the pressure off the HMA consultants where there may be a lot of pressure where they believe that they got to sell 4 projects at a time or all 8? Give them some advice about being flexible and open, and when they're meeting with the client, that they don't have to sell all the projects.
That's a great point. The system is designed to be manipulated for the client. the client situation, the client assets, should dictate to the consultant what steps of the system do I need and do I want, okay? So that's the way it's organized, is to be manipulated by the consultant to meet the needs of the client. But not only meet the need of the client, but give the fastest impact. And that's why I will say steps 1 and 2 can be forever the only steps an HMA guy could ever develop and do. And he'll have impact after impact after impact.
Okay, a typical HMA consultant, at least I would think that, and when I first started doing the HMA, I thought the USP and the integrating was a slow impact, and that maybe upselling, cross-selling to a database would be faster. How do you feel about that? Can USP be faster than something like that?
Great question. It can be. And it usually is when a company's been around a while and the leads are flowing. In other words, that's a big asset. Is that they're generating revenue already. The leads are coming in. The salesmen are working.
So changing the USP to an existing business with the flow of leads can be very fast.
That's right. Integrating it, though, is critical. Because, so what if you got a USP? If the salesman doesn't sell it, it's not going to impact. So the integration has to be successful. And that's why you've got to get the salespeople on your side. You've got to find that champion. Once those things come together, 1 and 2, yeah, powerful impacts. In fact, you know, all of these case studies, sure, we did database, sure, we did alliances, and they helped, but they weren't and aren't as immediate. Unless the situation is that you need more leads. There's alliances or database can be steps that get you more leads faster. So again, it's what's the situation of the client. But I just want to tell the HMA that if all they did was 1 and 2, you could have a great career, because that's so lacking out there. It's such a big void.
All right, let's do Diamond Mower.
All right, great little company. Just got their survey from the government. They're up $1 million over last year.
What do they do?
They sell lawn mowers that are used by vegetation county managers on the sides of the road. So when you're driving the freeway and you see these guys mowing lawns on the side of the freeway, probably a Diamond Mower.
Yeah, those big ones.
Uh-huh. Well, they had gotten the rights to a mower that automatically applied the herbicide to kill the weeds. So before, what had happened is you'd have to go through and mow it, then you'd have to go through and spray it. So the labor costs were up, pollution and poison risk was up. Now they had a mower that would cut it and spray it at the same time. So this was Diamond Mower's new machine. Well, they came to the workshop, and we followed up on the workshop, and he says, Richard, I just got to get help in getting this new machine sold. I've got a bunch of them. I need to get them out into the market. Called the Wet Blade. So we went to work, and the key one here is alliances. We did the USP, we did the integration, we did database, but alliances was the key. And that is, they had an exclusive relationship with the herbicide provider, the company that provided the herbicide for the lawnmower to spray. And this company, the herbicide company, had been around a long time before this new mower came out. So they already had county people in their database. So all we were doing was introducing the new mower to an existing database, formed an alliance with the herbicide company.
How big of a database was it?
Oh, thousands of county people. These county people had already been buying herbicide, remember? They'd been buying poison to spray, and they'd been buying from this company, which Diamond Mower had set up an exclusive relationship with to use all of their herbicides with their mower. So I asked the owner, I said, well, why haven't we promoted to the customers of the herbicide? And he jaw drops, says, well, duh. So we got a letter going from the owner of the herbicide endorsing the new Diamond Mower to all of his database. We started selling Diamond Mowers. So that's a great alliance story. And again, HMA consultants need to see how simple this is. Why didn't the owner see the customers of this herbicide company as his prospects? He just doesn't think that way. So that's why you're hired.
He's too emotional.
Yeah.
You can't see it when you're in it.
Yeah, you can't see it when you're in it. So we have to help him step back, help him look at his assets, and see him in a different way.
Horn Plastics. Same story. How'd you meet him? Probably the same system.
The reason I listed this one is because I want the HMA consultants to understand that they can do group training and have impact. Shocker Hitch and Horn Plastics were in the same group that I met with on a weekly basis, taking them through the manuals, and they're doing it on their own. So this isn't a face-to-face. This isn't me executing. This is group training.
How much did they pay for these group trainings?
They paid $500 per employee, all right? And so we had 10 employees from the companies coming to this group training.
How many weeks was the group training? How long did you...
$5,000. We went for 4 weeks, 2 hours a week.
What time did you do them?
So I did them from 5 to 7 o'clock at night after the work hour. So I have 8 hours invested, 2 hours a week for 4 weeks, getting $5,000. So they need to know they can do these group trainings. And so Horn Plastics went through the group training. They did their USP. Here was the neat thing about them is that the owner was spending $10,000 a month. They make plastic liners for the backs of pickups. That's Horn Plastics. It's a nice liner, and it just goes in the back of a pickup. Well, $10,000 was generating a lot of leads. Three salespeople internally not doing a very good job. So in the group training, they learned their USP. They went back in step two, week two, and they started to integrate the USP into those phone calls. Well, we went through the 4 weeks of training, and at $5,000, I'm not hanging around and asking too much about what's going on, so I didn't follow up a whole lot. But I saw the owner on an airplane coming out of the Dakotas, and I asked him, I said, Phil, how's it going? He says, my inside sales have doubled, Richard. But they just started to, again, it was sales training in the second week that we helped him with to integrate the USP. And he says, my inside sales have doubled, and I haven't had to increase my $10,000 budget. So that's a great case study there.
Good illustration. When you're doing the group trainings, besides you just lecturing and teaching, how much interaction between your students and yourself during that group training?
Well, we're going through the manuals together, so there's quite a bit of interaction.
Do you use a overhead projector? Tell me how you organize the manuals. Everyone who comes in, they sit down, they each have their set of manuals. You have your set. Are you using any of the PowerPoints, or are you just teaching?
Well, I take them through the same workshop that they would have seen in a workshop to introduce the system. But then it's their homework during the week that's critical.
So week number one, the first thing you're going to do is take them through the PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah, and then USP manual.
In the USP manual.
Yeah, because the USP manual tells them the four things they need to do. So it's the same thing they got to do that a consultant would have done.
All right, so they come back week two. They should have done the four things for the USP.
That's right.
Do you review on week two?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we go into integration. Then we go in the next manual. And here we did just the core four. We didn't do five, six, seven, and eight.
On week two, you review USP. People have questions, and maybe will you give a little advice on people's USP? Do you
For example, Horn Plastics comes back and says, okay, how do we get this USP into our ads? Because they're running $10,000 worth of ads. And so we help them with some headlines, help them with some things they can put into the ad to integrate the USP. And now their ads are doing better.
All right, so each participant in the group training, you'll cover each one of their specific USPs and the whole group can learn from that experience?
Absolutely. And they share ideas with each other.
So there is a lot of interplay and open discussion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want it that way. I had four companies in this group with two, three employees each on average. And they were companies that didn't want to afford the one-on-one, but would pay the $500 over 4 weeks.
From that group training, did you end up getting any one-on-one?
No.
Okay, we got time for one more case study. We've got Shoremaster Boat Covers.
What a neat little company. They manufacture covers for a boat, and they have been in business for quite a while. And here's what was important here. again, they came to a workshop, and we followed up with the opportunity analysis, and we have a sales director who's in charge of two or three salespeople, and the owner's wanting him to get going and move things forward. I find out they just spent $50,000 on a brand new catalog being sent out to all of their dealers, 2008 boat cover catalog. And I asked them, I said, so where's the USP in this catalog? And of course there wasn't. So again, we have a traditional advertising firm that's kind of missing the boat. They're just doing the glitzy catalog without selling anything. And so I had a problem. I said, geez, this is already out. Man, what if our USP can't get along with this catalog? What are we going to do? So we went ahead and did the USP, but here's what we came up with. Elite Partners Dealer Program, making it easy for dealers to sell more. So we came right back with the USP that said, we've mailed you our catalog. Now, if you sell $1,500 in boat covers, you become an elite partner with Shoremaster. And an elite partner, A, has guaranteed turnaround. The last thing you need in ordering for your customer is delay. As an elite partner, Shoremaster Fabric will ship your order on the date we provide at the time the order is placed, or we will pay the shipping cost. Everything we offer is at your fingertips. Many other manufacturers say they are the biggest or have the most, but Shoremaster Fabric is the only one that guarantees the fit of your customer's boat cover. If your customer's cover or canopy does not fit, we'll make it right at our cost, not yours. So we began to turn these dealers that got this brand new catalog, and we made them elite partners if they sell $1,500 a year. In other words, do you qualify to be a Shoremaster partner or not? We turned it away from begging for dealers to, do you dealers qualify to work with us? If you're not an elite partner, I can't guarantee the turnaround on your cover. I can't guarantee the fit. But if you want to be an elite partner and you've got our elite catalog, so we just took the catalog and we positioned it as elite. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good. And how is that performed? And
this is a new one. They're just having a good summer. The guy's telling me that his canopy sales are outdoing his boat cover sales, so he's excited about that. But he says, Richard, there's no question, just by communicating. And what we did was, right after the catalog went out, we had all the salespeople call every dealer and tell them about the Elite program. And he says, just by communicating our USP, we've increased sales this summer. And he says, that's in a summer where boats are not selling right now. And so what you did was, maybe not as big of an increase, although I think over the year it'll go up higher, but he's kind of saved his summer, okay? Didn't have the dip that he was kind of thinking he would have. And that's just as powerful and as important to your clients as increased sales is not losing sales.
Michael, could Richard give us some advice about the core four from a time management point of view? Shortcuts to get the job done quickly, how we can get through each step in one day, along the lines of the Dave Flannery interviews, tips on becoming more efficient in completing the four tasks in each module of the core four. Thanks and regards, Mark Whately.
One thing that'll help is if you can get a champion on board. If you can get somebody that's helping you with those core four, that's good. That will save you time. If you're having to do it all, that's going to be tougher. But it really should be that you should not spend more than 3 to 5 hours per week per client on the steps. So if you're doing that, then you're maybe doing things that you shouldn't be doing or don't have to do. So from a time planning standpoint, you know, for example, on USP, you meet with the company week one. Now, again, the system can be manipulated. So if you want to get it done in a day, have your meeting, make your customer calls, look at the competition, 8 hours later, go deliver a USP. You could do that. So you don't have to spread it out over 4 weeks. You can get it done and package it in a day if you want. So again, manipulate the system the way that will best fit your client's schedule. The system's kind of built, though, in the way the market has best responded, and that is, wow, I'm going to pay you $3,000 and you're done in a day. But, oh, you've been with me now 4 weeks. You've come in, you've spent time every week for 4 weeks. Oh, all right. See, it's just easier for a guy to pay $3,000. So the delivering of the system is kind of packaged in a way that we have learned best fits the market.
All right, here's a question from Sammy, one of our new consultants out of New Jersey. Richard, if I were to drop you in a small to medium-sized city with no money, no contacts, and no other resources except for the manuals, how would you get started finding and acquiring and closing clients?
Well, along with my manuals, I would have a PowerPoint presentation, so I wouldn't go into a city with just my manuals. If you were to drop me off, I'd have my PowerPoint presentation and the manuals, and I'd immediately go to the local Chamber of Commerce, and I would say, I have a workshop I'd like to offer to your customers at no charge. So on the next chamber meeting, I'd like to have 30 minutes. Is that something that would work for you? It's a new marketing system idea, and I'm not going to charge for your clients. All I'm going to ask is that I can follow up with them if they're interested. So, boom, that would be the first thing I'd do in a small to medium-sized cities. I'd go to that chamber, and I'd get a workshop ready. I'd also start to visit maybe a sign company. I'd go in, and I'd bring my manuals with me, and I'd say, you know, this marketing system has complemented signage for companies all across the country for years. It's helped them add more sales, which is what you want your sign to do for your customer, right? Yeah, that's what we want. Well, I'd like to add some more marketing and sales training to your sign business. Could we do a little workshop for your sign companies? Or I do the same with a CPA, or I do the same with a bank. I take 8 hours for a day and hit those alliance opportunities right off the bat.
And ask to be able to be put in front of their customers to do a workshop.
At no charge.
And we've just heard 10 case studies of it. That's exactly how you work the system.
That's right.
And you just take it from there.
Part of the HMA investment that you're making is you're buying a system that's been around for 17 years now. You can use those case studies. The credibility is in the system. The credibility of the system is that it has performed. And so take the load off yourself. Don't put it on you. You have purchased the rights to a system so that you don't have to spend 17 years putting it together. And so don't get hung up. If you go in to a prospect and the focus is on you, you will self-sabotage. You'll become uncomfortable. They'll ask you, well, what have you done? But if you'll go into the opportunity analysis focused on solving their problem by use of this system, you're going to keep the focus off of you. And then you got all the credibility you need in the system. So I'm hoping that helps in how to get things started.
Here's a question from Pete Pereca. Michael, here's my question. Richard, do you find one type of business better than another? For example, is it easier to get a retail operation to increase its sales faster versus a manufacturing company?
I would say yes to that. I would say retail's probably the best. And the only reason I've been focused on the manufacturing is two things. One is manufacturers are having to wake up to marketing. They're about 10 years behind retail, maybe 20, in that they haven't caught on to marketing like they should. Hence, they've been losing business to China and overseas, and they're tired of losing it. So they're beginning to wake up to marketing. So from an industry standpoint, that's why I've loved the manufacturers, is they're waking up and they're beginning to get interested. And we're here now to help them. As far as I think the quickest impact, retail is clearly probably the best because sales are happening every day. People are coming in every day. They usually have a good database set up. Maybe they've been doing mailings. They got salespeople with idle time that you could work on projects. And so that's why I would say retail's probably your fastest.
Richard, are there certain businesses that you try to avoid?
Yes, avoid startups. Don't mess with the startups. They don't have any assets, and so they're going to be tough to make. So unless they'll pay you to create those assets, avoid startups. Avoid restaurants and franchises. They always have to get marketing decisions from headquarters. Restaurants, they're just hard to monitor and track, and they've got plenty of consultants in the industry. So stay away from those kinds of businesses.
Hi, Michael. It's always great to hear from you. And Richard, my question is about Richard's experience with the, quote, done-for-you marketing. Is he doing any of it for his clients, managing marketing programs for a fee? I'm getting more requests about going this route, but I don't have the fulfillment system in place. Do you or Richard have any experience with this? Dedicated to multiplying your sales, Paul Flood, Paul Flood Marketing.
Yeah, it may be that they want you to handle advertising, and they want you to handle printing, and they want you to handle internet and all of that, actually be a fulfillment house. I would caution against that, unless that's where you want your consulting business to go. But I have stayed away from that fulfillment, and I just always instead found it better if I look at the client and say, oh, well, you already have an ad agency I can work with on this. They go, yeah, we'd like to use them. Or you already have an internet host that handles this. Oh, yes, we already do. Oh, you already have a printer that's been printing this locally. Yeah, well, we can just keep them. Then they know I'm not making money on that stuff, number one. And number two, it's just been easier to coordinate rather than try to do it all. And three, I have seen two competitors end up really suffering by trying to do both, by trying to execute on the marketing and be the fulfillment. So I just caution you on that.
Here's a question from Jim Peck out here in San Diego. If an HMA consultant wants to focus on three or four types of businesses to specialize in, which ones would be the best ones for systematic cookie-cutter implementation or consistent results?
I would go to retail, but avoid the franchises. Go to independently owned retail stores would be one type, and then I'd go to manufacturers as another one. Those would be my top two. Following that would be a real tie between service companies and professionals. I've liked working with financial planners and service companies pretty much equal, so that'd be the top three.
That's the end of this interview with Richard. I hope these case studies have helped you and given you some new illustrations and examples of how to get clients. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.